Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. The grotesque attempt to erase public radio from the public airwaves by fascist wannabe dictator and wartime coward Donald Trump will fail only if enough Americans of both political parties, as well of different persuasions, realize and rise up against the stultifying neo-fascism of regnant lords and ladies of wealth and spoiled brat domestic tyranny, for whom Trump is their true squalling representative. Donald Trump is a traitor to democracy and should be instantly jailed to serve out the sentences his presidency has, for its duration, denied justice and the truly American way our ancestors derived from revolting successively against royal. Donald Trump is a traitor to democracy and should be instantly jailed to serve out the sentences his presidency has, for its duration, denied justice and the truly American way our ancestors derived from revolting successfully against royalty initially and fascism ever since. Donald Trump is a traitor to democracy and political liberty and freedom from spoiled brat tyrants such as himself, who cowardly avoided the Vietnam War as a result of acclaimed bone spurs, but surely demands the prerogative of warmongering, as he demonstrates as a major ambition when he was president the first time and is now doing so again. Perhaps in retrospect, the USA does deserve the scourge of Trump because a possible majority of voters did not have the courage or foresight to finally elect a woman as president. Just recently, a prominent Republican politician publicly opined that women should not be eligible to vote. And now, from the Guardian newspaper, Trump promised to be a dictator on day one. We are now past day 200. And it's by David Smith, who is Washington bureau chief for The Guardian. The anger was raw and resolute. Speaking at the Republican Congressman Mike Flood's town hall in Lincoln, Nebraska, a woman pointed to the estimated $450 million cost of alligator Alcatraz, quote unquote, an immigration detention facility in Florida. How much does it cost for fascism, she demanded. How much do the taxpayers have to pay for a fascist country? The crowd erupted in applause and whoops. In the week that Donald Trump marked his 200th day in office, few mainstream political commentators are using such terms as fascist, but many are warning of a societal march towards authoritarianism that, far from losing momentum, appears to be gathering pace. Over the past month, the U.S. president has demanded that his predecessor, Barack Obama, be prosecuted for treason, quote unquote, fired the government's top labor statistician following a weak jobs report, and forced Columbia University to pay more than $200 million in a settlement that many saw as capitulation. Trump has also egged on Republicans in Texas and other states to redraw congressional maps so they favor his party in future elections, turning the FBI on dissenting Democrats, and ordered a new census that excludes people, quote, who are in our country illegally, unquote. And his administration has pursued a hostile takeover of the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., threatening to place the city under federal control, promising to restore a Confederate statue toppled by Black Lives Matter protesters, and executing a radical makeover of the White House itself. The trend line is clear to Trump's critics. Rachel Maddow, a leading progressive TV host, told viewers of her show on the MSNBC network this past week, "We do now live in a country that has an authoritarian leader in charge. We have a consolidating dictatorship in our country," quote, unquote. And that was the great Rachel Maddow. Terms such as fascist, authoritarian, and dictatorship were once dismissed as the refuge of those suffering Trump derangement syndrome, and that's a quote, not anymore. There is now a growing consensus that the pillars of U.S. democracy are being demolished one by one. Matt Bennett, an executive vice president of Third Way, a centrist think tank hardly prone to hyperbole, said, "It's getting dramatically worse by the day. The question of whether we are in a constitutional crisis or whether authoritarianism has arrived is kind of an academic one. It's either here or it's going to be here very soon. We are still short of them openly defying a Supreme Court ruling or intentionally deporting U.S. citizens or attempting to shut down a news media operation. But we are not very far short." And that was Matt Bennett. The assault on the Constitution is wider and deeper than in Trump's first term, when he arrived in the Oval Office like a trainee pilot sitting in the cockpit of a Boeing 747, overwhelmed by its array of dials and controls. Now he and his allies, noticeably his deputy chief of staff, Stephen Miller, the repulsive Stephen Miller, know precisely which levers to pull and how little air resistance they are likely to meet. Having promised to be a dictator only on day one, Trump got to work pardoning supporters involved in the 6th January 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol, installing loyalists at the Justice Department and FBI, and recruiting the billionaire Elon Musk to scythe through government agencies, sidelining Congress along the way. The president repeatedly challenged judicial rulings, even calling for the impeachment of judges who rule against his administration. After a judge blocked a deportation order, Trump called him crooked and said he should be impeached. The administration escalated attacks on media outlets it accused of unfavorable coverage, moving some out of their Pentagon workspace or barring them from the Oval Office and Air Force One. It also purged the leadership of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, installing Trump himself as chairman. At the 100-day mark, comparisons were being drawn with autocrats such as Viktor Orban of Hungary. 200 days in, Orban has been left looking like an amateur by the speed and scale of Trump's efforts to expand presidential power, undermine institutions, and control information. Simon Rosenberg, a Democratic strategist, said, "Trump has clearly made a decision to turn America into some form of dictatorship. There is no way any longer to look away from that. The excuses, well, it can't happen here. American civil society is strong enough to resist, may be true. But what's clear now is that his aspiration is to end American democracy for all time and to turn this country into some kind of authoritarian state." Among the starkest examples was Trump's concerted effort to deflect attention from the Jeffrey Epstein files by baselessly reviving the investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election. The Attorney General, Pam Bondi, has directed federal prosecutors to launch a grand jury investigation into allegations that members of Obama's administration manufactured intelligence. Then came the abrupt dismissal of the Bureau of Labor Statistics Commissioner Erica McIntyre after a jobs report showed downward revisions. Trump accused her of faking the jobs numbers, quote unquote, and that the figures were rigged in order to make the Republicans and me look bad, quote unquote, offering only my opinion, again a quote from Trump, as proof. Trump's efforts to dominate U.S. culture are far more sophisticated than in his first term. According to analysis by Axios news site, he has extracted more than $1.2 billion in settlements from at least 13 of the most elite players in academia, law, media, and tech. Among them was a $16 million deal with Paramount that critics saw as a bribe, quote unquote, and coincided with the cancellation of the late night show of the CBS comedian Stephen Colbert, one of the most incisive satirical voices of the Trump era. Rosenberg added, "There is no question that our lack of history with a leader like this and the perception of American exceptionalism made many constitutional players in our society unprepared for what was to come. The problem here is that the way Trump succeeds is by isolating people and by not allowing people to work together collectively." From his military parade in Washington to his bombing of Iran, from his escalation of immigration enforcement to his so-called big, beautiful bill, which is a quote, the American people are rejecting Trump's leadership and agenda, according to Rosenberg, the Democratic strategist. A majority of the country now knows that he is the old man behind the curtain and not the wizard, he said. He still has control over MAGA and Republicans in Congress, but he does not have the persuasive capacity any longer to keep his hold on the broad majority of the country. This is a sign of his weakness, and that he is not as strong as he believes he is. It's one of the reasons why he is looking for these avenues to reestablish his strength and power and have there be a perception that people are bending the knee. Every time he tries to do this, it fails, and he grows more distant to the American people. That has to give us hope. We have the tools in the coming months to start winning elections and building a more successful pro-democracy movement that can contain the damage that Trump and MAGA are doing to this country in the coming years. And that was a quote by Rosenberg. This is Michael McCusker. Joanne Rideout is engineer of this program. Environmentalists are scourged by a worldwide struggle as Mother Gaia's human population pressures remaining terrestrial areas such as the Pacific Northwest, which is already overwhelmed by human despoilation. And those who make huge profits abandon and shortstop any and all ecological considerations and concerns, instead using political power to devastate not only earthly ecology, but also fellow humans who desperately attempt to preserve what little remains of pristine wilderness, even undersea geography, not yet clogged with humanity or polluted with its cultural and environmental disregard. Impeach President Bonespurs. Truly, that would be a start toward Gaia's rehabilitation and our descendants' future on this very small cosmic world our species threatens with atomization from its own eternal internal disputes. Happy summertime.
You've been listening to A Story Told on KMUN, featuring Michael McCusker, journalist, activist, former firefighter, and Vietnam veteran. Michael has been sharing essays and poetry on A Story Told since 1987. For 30 years, he published the North Coast Times Eagle newspaper out of his home in Astoria, Oregon. Michael currently shares his work and the works of other authors from his home on the Central Oregon coast. Join us here next week for A Story Told.